Blog Talk Radio.
Can you shout it out one more time? I'm expecting great things.
Great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life?
Say, I'm expecting great things.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, everyone. Hallelujah, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Hallelujah, and be glad in it. For truly, the clock is ticking. Tick-tock. We have to understand that the clock is ticking. So we praise God and we expect great things during our time here on earth. Amen, amen. Glory to God. I say I'm expecting great things. How about you?
Thank you.
shout right there.
Amen. If you believe it, why don't you release a shout right there? What are you expecting God to do? What are you expecting in your life? Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox. I'm excited and delighted. I'm very delighted to be here today to be able to bring another word for God's people. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you all that have joined in. I see the lines clicking open on the board, and I thank God for those that are on the internet, those that are even coming in through Facebook. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited. I'll tell you one thing. God is moving by his spirit, and he's causing some things to change in the lives of God's people. So we're going to be teaching today. We're still dealing with spiritual strategies for warfare, but I'm going to be talking today about the great division. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you right now in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord God, that you will come and you will rule and you will super rule. You will lead us, guide us, direct us, Father. And we ask you, God, keep us hidden behind the cross as you go forth with power and might. We call forth the fire of God to burn up everything that's not like you, God. And we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus that you will speak through me as I open my mouth as the oracle of God. Thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for change in the lives of your people. I thank you for change in the lives of your people. I thank you for change in the lives of your people. So, Father, as I go forth, I ask you to use me for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 and amen. You know, it's one thing about how God operates, and he used people to bring forth the manifestation of his will. Now, sometimes things happen and we think, oh, that's not God. But I'm talking today about the great division, Jesus, the great divider. Amen. It's not a popular statement, but it's all biblical based. Amen. When we think of Jesus, we think of peace and love, and we think of all of the good things. But in Luke 12, hallelujah, Luke 12, verse 49, hallelujah, 49 through, let's see, we'll go 49 through, let's try 49 through 53. Glory to God. And the Bible says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wished it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Listen up. For now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This is the word of God, and we say that it is blessed. Amen. Amen. You know, when we think about, although Jesus came, scripture tell us that he came with multi-purposes. So sometimes we have to have an open mind to understand that even though things may not seem to be appearing to be like we think it should be, but God allowed things to happen so that things can be balanced in our life. Sometimes it don't feel good, but sometimes it's the Lord's doing, and we have to say that it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. God did not only, Jesus didn't come just for peace. The great divider. And I'm going to make it plain. And I hope you have your Bibles open. You're ready to just study with me. Amen. See, in John 1, 14 and 27. Amen. It talks about how Jesus came to bring peace. And then in Philippians 4 and 7, it talks about how he came to bring peace. That's John. I want you to, hope you got your Bibles, and I hope that you're reading along with me. Amen. Because sometimes we could be one track and we think, you know, is this way or no way? But the Bible does not change. And let us read John 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. How many of us are troubled? And how many of us are afraid? And we know God, Jesus instinctively said, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. So when we are afraid and when we are troubled, guess what? We're disobeying some of the things that God asked us to do. Amen. He said, don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Amen. And so that's the, he said, I give you peace. I want you to think not. This is what he's saying to us. He said, think not that I come to send peace on earth. What? He said, I came not to send peace. The scripture I just read, he said, I give you peace. But he didn't come to send peace. He said, but a sword. What? Romans 5 and 1. He came to get it started. Why? Why? Thank you, Jesus. He said, for I've come to set a man, for I am come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man foul shall be they of his own house. That's Matthew 10 and 32. So Jesus divides all men into two camps. Now I'll make it plain. This is not possible to be, it's not neutral. You either in or you out. You either saved or you're not saved. You either believe or you believe. It's one or the other. Which one is it? Which one is it? So we love or we hate, or are we just in between? So what he's saying here is, why did he come? Why would he come as a great divider? See, our perception in the world concerning Jesus is that he was a man of love who can bring peace. And his message was peace on earth and peace through love. See, this sort of pop ideal about Jesus, it's a reinforcement, I'll say, at Christmas time, because people are reminded of a child being born. A child is born, what it says, a son is given, and he's going to be called the Prince of Peace. And the angels, of course, announced to the shepherd that he was going to bring peace on earth. And even the Jews had this perception and this expectation that when the Messiah finally come, that peace will come with him. But Jesus absolutely shattered that expectation. You know, they called him a troublemaker. He didn't fit in. He was light on. He was misunderstood. Does that sound like you? Amen. It certainly sounds like me. Look at Luke 12 and 51. Amen. Luke 12 and 51. And the Bible says, do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? He said, I tell you, no, but rather division. So that's very precise. That's getting straight to the point with that statement. And that shatters the statement of our expectation that when we think about Jesus, we think about peace. We think about love. We think about hope and, you know, all of the positive expectations. But we have to understand that sometimes we have to divide to add. Sometimes we have to cut loose to gain. You know, so it's like it's a systematic system that he has in place that works for the believers. So all in Psalms, chapter 72, talks about in his days, the righteous would flourish with an abundance of peace. And even, you know the story, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he proclaimed about the coming of the Messiah. He was talking about the coming of the Messiah and the sunrise from on high would visit us to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know how even though Jesus himself, he said to a harlot, and this in the Bible, in Luke 7 and verse 50, he told her, he said, go in peace. And to a woman that was healed, with the issue of blood that was hemorrhaging, peace. And didn't Jesus also say in John 14, he was talking about gathering with his disciples and they were together and he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give it unto you. And didn't he say in chapter 16 of John, he said, these things I've spoken to you that's in me, that you might have peace. So all of this is talking about when he was saying, go in peace, I give you my peace. And the Apostle Paul was even talking about it in Ephesians. He talked about bringing, borrowing the word from Isaiah 57, which both of these scriptures are just alike. One in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 17, and then at Isaiah, the 57th chapter, when he said, and he came and he preached peace to those who were far off, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. And he came to bring peace through the blood of his cross and the apostles. And according to Acts, he talked about preaching peace by Jesus Christ. So shouldn't we expect then that he came to bring peace? I mean, all of that would make me think, well, that substantiates that he came to bring peace. Amen? But I want to make this plain. When Jesus came, he came as the great divide. See, the Jews remembered that he was the Prince of Peace. And they remembered promise of God, the Messianic Jews, because the other, some of the Jews didn't accept him at all. But in Isaiah 55, which said he could bring peace, and then in later on in chapter 66, it said that he would bring peace. You know, so I want you to know the difference. And then in Ezekiel, the promise of the new covenant was a promise of peace. And then Ezekiel 37, verse 24 and 28 talks about that another promise that was coming of the new covenant would come peace. There that word peace again. So certainly there was every reason for us to believe and anticipate that the arrival of the Messiah was to produce a time of peace. Now, I'm not going to say look here, but look, listen up. They looked at it as a national peace assignment when Jesus came. All they were thinking about was peace. Because this is the answer. So to grant us that delivered from the hands of the enemy might serve God without fear, all of these things represented peace. But then the great divide, let me explain about the great divide. Hallelujah. In Romans 5:1, he's coming to bring division. Why would Jesus come bring division? He divided all men into two battle camps. It's not possible to be neutral. You know, sometimes we don't want to get in a situation because we want to just, what, be neutral. We don't want to speak up because we feel we might offend someone. So we let sin run rapid. And then, so are we still serving God when we allow people to come against our God, or when we allow, oh, well, God will take care of it? Listen, our job is to bring people to Christ. And sometimes, I think that was Millie Jackson, she said, it hurts so good, believe. But it hurts, but it's good. It's like castor oil. So listen, no man can serve two masters. For either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one. And then the Bible says, and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24. You're gonna hate one and love the other. And then the Bible says, he that is not with me is against me. So you hear people say, well, I'm not against you, but they're not with you. So they're not with you, they're against you. And if they're not against you, they should be with you. No, you hear people say, I'm neutral. No, you're either with me or you're against me. You're either in or you're out. You're either cold or you're hot. Because the Bible says if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. See, Jesus spoke of this great divide in the story. And I'm going to give you two paths, two stories. One, while he was, is the straight and narrow. And then one, which was broad. So he warned of the deception of Satan. Here we go again. Satan always pop up, right? Satan, broad path, which took many. Amen. Sometimes we'd rather go the way that everybody's going. You know, it's easier. You know, it's more convenient to just go along, to get along. Amen. But Matthew 7:13-14 is talking about the deception of the narrow way and the broad way. So don't feel bad when sometimes you're all alone. Don't feel bad when everybody in the bunch disagrees with you. You know, don't feel bad when you thought you had it right and they're looking at you like you're crazy and everyone else on a whole different page. Don't feel bad, because the Bible tells us that there's two paths. There's a straight and narrow way, and there's a broad way. Which way? Are you following the crowd, or do you stand up against what's wrong and speak up for righteousness? Or are you one of those believers that don't want to stir the pot? Jesus stirred the pot. Jesus came and he made sure they understood who he was, what he stood for, and he spoke up and spoke against things that wasn't right. Being led. So through this account, let's talk about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. Hallelujah. In Luke 16, and you can read this at your readiness, Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, talking about Jesus removed the veil between life and death. See, he let man see the end result of choosing the wrong way. There's an end result. So are we going to get paid for everything that we do on this earth? I ask you the question. So if Jesus died for our sins of omission and commission, sins of the past and the future, sins to come, and he died that we might be saved. He died that we might be made whole. So if and forgiveness come in play, are we still going to be judged by our sins? I mean, it kind of contradicts itself, right? So if you already forgave me, if I forgive you, and then at the end I say, well, remember what you did? Remember you said that? Or remember you? No, I forgave you. So I'm not going to bring that up again. Why? Because it has been cast into the lake of fire, lake of forgetfulness. Amen. Never to return again. That's what the Bible says. So who's going to be judged? Is it going to be those that go on Broadway? Or is it going to be those that's following the narrow way of Jesus Christ? So are we going to be judged? Are you going to be judged? Yes, of course. We are going to be judged. But what are you as a believer going to be judged on? Amen. Do you think it's going to be your sin, your past sin, your sin that was forgiven, or are you going to be judged based on your obedience? As a believer, we are going to be judged on our obedience. As an unbeliever, we're going to be judged based on our sin. Amen. So that's why it's important that we walk in obedience. The Bible says if we're willing and obedient, listen, willing and obedient, then we'll eat the good of the land. Sometimes you can be disobedient. And the Bible says that if you're disobedient, you don't even belong to God. That's what he said. He said, my children, my sheep, they hear my voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. Amen. So disobedient children does not belong to God. I'm going to show you in the scripture what it says about disobedient children. Amen. So when we're disobedient, there's so many scriptures I can show you. But he said, disobedient children don't belong to me. Because they reject the commandments of God and they establish their own ways and they lean to their own understanding without acknowledging him. And then he can't direct the path. Amen. And he said, my children are those of obedience, those that obey me and keep my commandment. Amen. Amen. Let me read this one scripture here. And it's talking about anyone who make practice of sinning also practice lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sin. and in him there is no sin. So sin separates us from God. And disobedience is sin. Amen? So sin and disobedient children don't belong to God. I'm trying to find a scripture. I wrote down a couple of scriptures. Disobedient. Amen. But just so that you can know, it's failure to be obedient to the authoritative figure, whether it's God or whether it's someone that has authority over you. And so that's called disobedience. And obedience is when you obey the law of God. Amen. Let me see. I think I have it here. And there's danger in that. You know, what destroys a nation is sin. And what destroys us is disobedience to God's word. So I want you to understand there's a consequence when you're disobedient. There's a consequence when you don't obey what the word of God is telling you to obey. Amen. We're going to be judged by our disobedience. Don't get it twisted. So is God going to truly forgive our sin? And when we ask forgiveness, he said, he's just and faithful to forgive us. And I want you to remember that. You know, let no one tell you, oh, God gonna, you know, well, of course, the Bible talks about do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you'll save his soul. So sometimes it takes discipline in order to save a person's soul. I hear people say, oh, I don't discipline my children. Well, God's gonna discipline you. And they're no better than you. You better discipline them. You better teach them the right way. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Okay, let's get back on track. Hallelujah. Some of these things cause the divide because we are not obedient to what God tells us to do, but we still call ourselves believers. He did not only come to bring peace, but he came to bring division. And I read you the scripture. Because everything that's not like God, God is a consuming fire. And he want to burn it off. Amen. See, there will be no kingdom of peace until salvation comes to the heart. So in place of peace, if you don't have peace, what do you have? What do you have if you don't have peace? I want you to ask yourself that question. You'd be disturbed. You'd be confused. Fear, anxiety, all of that will come in if you don't have peace. And then it causes disunity. Disunity within. Amen. 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 Glory to God. The people that don't have peace, and when they come in your presence and they don't have the peace of God on them, then they're going to cause division. But Jesus came to devastate Satan and his works. So division, you ever been around people and because you're there, they're uncomfortable? I mean, and you're wondering, what did I do? I mean, I just don't fit, or you just don't fit. Because what? Your righteous stand offends them. And then they'll even go to a point and say, you're self-righteous. They'll even go to a point and just don't like you because you don't tolerate unrighteousness when words need to be said. A lot of believers are cowards. And we hide behind it. And we'll say, oh, that's what, just keep the peace. And you watch somebody go to hell. So we have to speak up And then the Bible says, do all things in love. So you do it in love, but you speak up. You bring correction. You cannot bring correction unless the law is laid down. So you get popped in the head and you don't know why. Well, not you, but somebody get popped in the head. And they don't understand why they're getting hit in the head, because it has not been explained to them that they shouldn't take something that don't belong to them. So the Bible says that you lay the law down before you bring correction, and that's what Jesus did. So remember when they were at the temple and the money changers were there and they was trading and they was doing what they were doing, and what did he do? When he turned the place out, turned the tables over, did he do that in love? Of course he did. But it didn't seem like it was love. He did it because of love. Sometimes it takes a person that's bold enough to step up and speak up for things to change. Amen. Jesus came to divide false teachers, false religion. Amen. He came to speak up against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, he came that they would see the error of their ways. Amen. And I could go on and on how Jesus came forth, and he talked about how his spirit would not always be with us. It wouldn't always strive with man. He said, behold, your house is left to you desolate. See, the invitation to come to Christ, you not only just come to him, but you suffer with him. And how do you suffer with him? When you speak up against things that you know are going to ultimately send a person to hell. And when they go through the process of understanding where Jesus actually was coming from and where you're coming from, at the end there's peace. So we push people into repentance so they can get into a place of repentance and they can have a godly sorrow. So they don't like you. So what? You're not here for them. You're here for God's assignment on earth to be completed. So when you complete the assignment and they're converted, then that's when the peace comes. Because God will truly convert you if you let him. So every time you turn around, you swearing. Every time you turn around, you're doing something that's against the will of God for your life. So what do? You got to revisit your prayer closet. Go back. Stay on your face. Ask God to help you. That's something that we need to do daily. Me to be a blessing to someone else. Okay, I'm going to read again in chapter 12, the Great Divider. I was reading that earlier when he said, I came to bring division. Let's talk about that. So first of all, the dividing event in verse 49 and 50, you know, it's very powerful. It's very dramatic. It's very insightful. And into the heart of our Lord. When I was reading, he said, I come to cast fire upon the earth. What? And how I wish it was already kindled. He said, but I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. So we read that. And then we start scratching our head and say, what is he talking about? See, I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's looking into the one event that is the dividing event of all humanities one event that divides glories, and not just in eternity, but in time. See, one event that's going to separate, and that event separate everyone into two categories. So let us take into the language, because it's very important. He said, I come. So now that says, well, that's just a simple verb form. Yeah, it's not just a simple verb form. It's much more than that. If you take your Bible and sometime and you trace that phrase, I have come. Now, when it comes out of the mouth of Jesus, it will be astonishing and it's important. It's a technical term by which he introduced his mission. I have come. And it's a definite phrase that summarizes why he's here. He's not only saying, I've come, but he's telling exactly why he came. He said, I came to cast fire up on the earth. So you see fire, and you think, he ain't in that. Let's put this fire out, like in California, fire, fire, fire. Does it make you think? He said, I came to cast fire up on the earth. And then he even went deeper than that. He said, I wish it was already burning, already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo. You didn't know that he came to cast fire upon the earth. He said, I have come. Let me go up a little further on my notes here. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to summarize that. I have come not to violate the law, but to fulfill the law. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I've come to be light. I come that you might be saved. See, Jesus kept repeating, I come. And he kept repeating why he came. And each time that you see this phrase in the Bible, it's another vantage point on his mission. I've come. I have come to give life. I have come to give light, to bring peace. I come to bring peace. I have come to seek and to save. And if you don't accept these things I offer you, I have come to cast fire on the earth. It's plain. So if you reject me, fire on you. You ever heard someone preaching or maybe praying and doing deliverance, and they call down the fire of God? That's to burn off what's not like God. And it just happened to be on you. You're going to start burning. Okay. But John 12:46 says, I have come as light unto the world, that everyone who believe in me may not remain in darkness. Well, why are we still in darkness? And if any hear my voice and my saying and don't keep them, listen, I do not judge him, for I didn't come to judge. He said, I came to save. I come to save. And I am a light. But he who rejects me does not receive my saying. He has one who judges him. So the word I spoke is what will judge him. So when I say, you know how you hear someone say, well, don't be judging. Listen, the Bible judges us. The Word of God judges us. So if I say something that's in the Word and you feel convicted or you feel judged, the Word judge you. It's right here. He said, my Word will judge you. See, Satan used that as a scapegoat. Don't be coming over here judging, because you're going to be judged by the saints. You're going to be judged by your obedience. When he was talking about judgment, that was to the world. That was to unbelievers. I just feel excited about it. Because the word of God brings correction. And some people don't like correction. He came that we might be saved. Come as a light. But he who rejects me and don't receive it, he said, my word's going to judge you. The word I spoke is going to judge you. So the word either save you or condemn you. So Jesus right here, he was saying, and I come to cast fire on everyone that rejects me. Can you see fire in a picture of judgment? See, I mean, it's a picture. See, fire as a picture of judgment. I mean, it's not going to be easy to look at when you see fire burning mankind. See, the Bible said he won't flood the earth anymore. It's going to be by fire. Oh, man, I got so many notes. But I wanted to say that he said, I'll send fire. In Amos chapter 1, he said, so I sent fire on the walls of Gilead. It consumes her citadel. And it's so many different times when he talks about how the fire of God going to burn off things. Amen, amen. I just know that the great divide, when Jesus came, he came not just for peace, but he's a consuming fire. And it should not be taken lightly. Amen. It's unquenchable. It's fiery. Whew. So it's incumbent upon us to be obedient to what God tells us to do. It's important that we are able to hear with our spiritual ears so we can shut that natural ear down and hear with your spiritual ear. See, I was talking to a client today, and I was sharing with them that if you're prayerful, if your lifestyle is a prayerful lifestyle, meaning that man should always pray, so you're constantly, you're constantly talking to God. You're a friend of God. So your conversation, you always talk to him. And when he speaks, guess what? You hear him so plain. It's almost like you're talking to your friend. A relationship. And he will speak to us. And not only will he speak to us, he'll work through us. He come that we might have life. He come that we might have life. The fullness of life. So are we going to be judged by our sin? Absolutely not. If we're believers, we're going to be judged by our obedience. I want you to get it. The sinners practice sin. Amen. But believers, we don't practice sin. Yes, are we going to miss it sometime? Of course. That's why Jesus came and died. And that's why he didn't stay dead. And he rose again because he conquered and he fulfilled every assignment that he was sent to do. So as a believer, I'm not saying must we continue in sin that God grace abound. Absolutely not, because God hates sin. But I'm saying if you miss it, don't let nobody condemn you. Because Jesus didn't come that we would be condemned. He came that we might be set free. and we're going to be judged by our obedience. Obedience to being a follower of Christ, keeping his commandments, fulfilling our purpose. That's why it's so important to me, an elder, and Kingdom Builders Development, that you allow yourself to be pushed into purpose, that you're doing what God called you to do, and your calling and election is made sure, because the clock is ticking. Next week, I'm going to be talking about crowns. I'm going to talk about when you get to heaven, about the crowns. But I want everyone on the line to understand, no matter what we go through, division and relationships and families, you have quarrels, you have disagreement, put love and forgiveness in your heart that you might not sin against him. So I want to establish the fact that Jesus came as a great divider. He wanted to divide us from everything that's not like him. I gave you the scriptures, and I want you to continue to search the scriptures, continue to look, continue to seek, spend quiet time with what's most important, and that's learning of him. And I told you, he said, I came to bring fire, Luke 12:49. He said, I come to bring fire on earth. You didn't know that. I didn't either until I read it. I didn't either until he confirmed it in my spirit. He said it, and it was so bad that he wished the fire had kindled already, but he had a job to do. He said, but I have come. I have a baptism to undergo. Let us all get baptized. All be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up in the holy faith. You know, pray in the spirit. If you haven't received the gift, ask God for it. Hallelujah. It builds you up. It builds up that fire. You know, somebody say something to you and you can't answer, or they ask you to do something, just say, hold one moment, and then you go. And I got this from Pastor Winston. He said, tell her one moment, take a couple steps. Build yourself up. Praying in the spirit. Allow your spirit to pray. And then tap back in, and now you're ready. Don't walk in the natural, trying to fulfill things of the spirit, because we can't do it. Amen. Glory to God, everyone. All the glory. All of the glory belongs to him. All of the glory belongs to him. Give him the glory of your life. You know, just keep glorifying him. Keep magnifying him. Keep bringing it, you know, let your light shine. Crazy. When you feel things ain't going your way, so what? Let things be God's way. Let your light shine so that men or mankind will see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Because we literally should be able to live in the heavenly realm, seated in heavenly places in our spirit. Where are you seated? Think about it. You know, when you get upset, where do you sit? Do you sit in the seat of the scornful? Or do you delight yourself in the Lord? Because the Bible says, if you delight yourself in him, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So if you make him first, he's going to pave the way for you. He said, all of these things shall be added. So it's like, instead of going this way, go toward Christ, and he'll make everything happen for you. All hands on deck. I just pray that you are ready for God to use you. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Glory to God. Amen. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to thank you greatly for just giving me your ear. Your time is special and it's precious in the sight of God. If you don't know what your calling is, if you don't know what you should be doing, and you want to connect with us, we want to welcome you in. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to introduce him to you. We want to talk about it. And so that you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It's not complex. Forgive anyone that hurt you. Let them off the hook. And come on, let's go up the King's Highway together. Amen, amen, amen. God bless everyone. Thank you once again. We love you. We send peace of the Lord upon you, your family, and every single thing that concerns you. Walk in God's best and lean on one another. Amen. Trust. Build each other up. God's going to send you true friendship. Amen. Well, God bless everyone. I'm going to play Lean on Me in closing. But literally, we know we definitely have to lean on Christ Jesus. Amen. Trust the word and lean on him. God bless everyone. We love you. Have a supernatural rest of your evening.
Just